and direct our life by His word, we will add years to our life, both now and forevermore. And that is the first virtue of wisdom Solomon extols to his son as he's teaching this young man how to live in this world. Wisdom adds years to your life. Now, the second virtue is found in verses 11 and 12. Wisdom gives clear direction. In verses 11 and 12, Solomon reminds his son, I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in paths of uprightness, or we would say straight paths. When you walk, your step will not be hampered, and if you run, you will not stumble. What a wonderful promise. During our lifetime, during the time we spend on this earth, we will encounter many crossroads where we must choose from a multiplicity of different options. For example, we have career choices, do we not? What should be my vocation? We will have marital choices. Who shall I marry? We have housing choices. Where should I live? We have church choices. Where shall I worship? We have retirement choices. Should I retire? And if I retire, when should I do so? Now, these are just a few of the important decisions we will all face in life. And, of course, there are other choices we must make as well. We must choose the clothes we wear, the food we eat, the books we read, the music we listen to, the friendships we will cultivate, the places we visit, the money we invest, and so on. From the very moment we wake up to the moment we go to bed, we will have many choices to make. And granted, some of our choices are not life and death. I'm sure it did not matter to God if you chose to wear your black socks this morning instead of your brown. He's not fretting over that. But as we all know, there are choices we make that do matter to God. So it is critical, when it comes to matters that are important to our Creator, that we make the right choice. We want to choose well. We want to choose to please God. And thankfully, in these important matters, God does not leave us to guess what is the right way to choose. He does not want you in the dark about how to choose to please Him. He makes it very clear to us so we do not miss the way. And Solomon reveals in verses 11 and 12, God's wisdom as revealed in His word gives that clear direction. For as he writes, God will lead us along the upright, or that is the straight path. We want a straight path, do we not? The straight, smooth path is what God will lead us along by way of His precepts, by way of His commands, by way of His principles that we find in His word. And if we walk in this way, if we walk along that path, that straight and upright path, our steps, he tells us, will not be hampered, or they will not be obstructed by ungodly counsel. Instead, God's wisdom will give us the room to run the course he has set before us. That will indeed bring us safely home to him. We can actually run on that path. Now, there are many paths in life you do not want to run. But the path that God lays out for you in His word, you can run that path that will bring you safely home to Him. When I think of running the race, or running the path, I'm reminded of what the author of Hebrews writes to the Hebrew Christians. In chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, he tells these struggling believers, folks who are going through a very difficult time, persecuted from outside, persecuted from inside the church. They were dealing with all kinds of struggles. And so to encourage these Hebrew Christians, he tells them in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and these cloud of witnesses were the faithful saints that he has already talked about in chapter 11, he gave them many examples of people who persevered in the faith and who finished their race well. So he tells these Hebrew Christians, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. That is how we run the race of faith throughout the course of our life without stumbling, as Solomon makes mention in verse 12. We fix our eyes on Jesus, the wisdom of God incarnate, who is the author of our faith, who is the finisher of our faith, and the only pathway to the Father. We fix our eyes on Jesus. Do you want to run your race well? Do you want to finish and receive that "well done, my good and faithful servant"? Then fix your eyes on Jesus throughout your life, for he is the only pathway to the Father. And that is why Solomon will urge his son in verse 13, keep hold of instruction. And that is a reference to the wisdom from God. Do not let her go. Guard her, for she is your life. The way of wisdom is the way to life. Therefore, if we will live the abundant life both now and forevermore, we must embrace the wisdom of God and the Word of God and live by this Word and never let it go. For the Word of God gives life. Jesus says that very thing in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So Solomon mentions two virtues that belong to the wisdom of God in verses 10 through 13. First, godly wisdom will add years to your life by adding life to your years, now and forevermore. Second, godly wisdom gives clear direction to make godly choices to ensure you have a straight and unhampered path that leads you home to God. Now in verses 14 to 17, Solomon makes this transition from virtues, the virtues of wisdom, to focus on the way of the wicked, that he might warn his son to keep from their pathway. And see in verses 14 and 15 how concerned Solomon is for his son to stay clear of wicked people. He uses six imperatives in just two verses to communicate his warning. Look what he writes. First, do not enter the path of the wicked. All of these are commands. Second, do not walk in the way of evil. Third, avoid it. Fourth, do not go on it. Fifth, turn away from it. And sixth, pass on, or we would say, pass on by. Solomon writes six imperatives in two short verses to warn his son to stay clear of wicked people. I think we can safely say that Solomon is very, very concerned for his son. And rightly so. For see how he describes the wicked people in verse 16. Look at how he describes these wicked people. He's looking at these wicked people he wants to keep his son away from. And so he is telling his son about them. For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. Here is a picture of a criminal mind. He or she is a person who embraces, who drinks in wickedness. And this does not happen all at once. It never does. But over time, one bad choice follows another. One wicked deed prepares for the next. And slowly but surely, this person becomes so depraved, you can say of them, as Solomon writes in verse 17, they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. That is to say, wickedness has become to them as commonplace as daily food. In fact, it is their daily food. Just as some people cannot sleep with an empty stomach, I don't know if that is you, you can't go to bed with an empty stomach, so the criminal mind will not rest until it commits violence. These are very dangerous people. They are wicked men with evil minds. So Solomon warns his son, do not go that way. Do not even think that thought. Stay far from the wicked and the places they frequent. And when you see them, turn away from them and pass on by. Solomon makes a very clear contrast between the way of wisdom and the way of wickedness. You cannot miss it. No one can mistake the difference between the two ways. The way of wisdom is the path to life. In fact, Solomon tells us it is life. Guard it, hold on to it, embrace it, don't let it go. Keep to it. It is life. It is life. It will add years, life to your years today. It will give eternal life in the long tomorrow. Whereas the way of wickedness, what is the way of wickedness? As Solomon describes here, it is the gateway to death. It will drain life from your years today and give you damnation in the age to come. So the choice is clear, is it not? If we love life, we will choose the way of wisdom. If we love death, we will choose the way of wickedness. Now, to make the contrast between the two ways even plainer, if that's possible, in verses 18 and 19, Solomon poetically portrays where these two paths lead you in life. The pathway of wisdom takes you into the light that grows ever brighter, and the pathway of wickedness leads you into the dark that grows ever darker. Look at verse 18. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until the full day. We might say that the Christian life, the life we live, is one of progressive illumination and insight. First comes the light of dawn, or we would say spiritual regeneration. That is when God's truth penetrates our darkness, the Spirit of Christ transforms us, and he then sets us on the pathway of life. Then as we journey through life and we abide in God's truth and walk in his ways, as revealed in his word, the light of the Spirit grows brighter and brighter. And we see our life like we never did before, as God, by his word and the work of the Holy Spirit, enlightens our hearts and illuminates our minds so we may obtain a growing knowledge of him and his redemptive purposes for us and this world. I think we can all testify to that truth. We come into the faith as baby Christians and we continue to grow. And as we grow in the knowledge of God's word, as the Spirit of Christ illuminates the passages of Scripture, we see ourselves in ways we had not seen before. We see God in ways we had not seen before. And we note in a deeper way his purposes for us and for this planet. And then when we take our last breath on earth and our first breath in glory, where the brightness of the full day perpetually shines, faith becomes sight, and we then see clearly what we only see dimly today. I look forward to that day. The Apostle Paul pictures our progressive illumination that accompanies our spiritual transformation in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, when he writes, "And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord," and we behold that glory in the Word of God, "are being transformed into the same image." And here he is referring to the image of Christ, from one degree of glory to another. We are progressing in our sanctification. We are being transformed little by little until one day we are fully glorified. And he continues, for this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So the Christian life is one of progressive illumination and insight, or it should be. I'm thankful I know more today, God's Word, than I did 20 years ago. And that is the way it should be. For as we follow the way of wisdom revealed in God's Word, we are transformed from one degree of glory to another. That is a beautiful picture. But now we change over, we transition to the wicked. That is not the case with them. The pathway they travel is dark, and it grows ever darker. Solomon writes in verse 19, "The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble." We would say a dark cloud encircles the path of the wicked who reject God and his wisdom. And Solomon reveals the longer they stay on the path, the longer they stay on that path of rejection, the darker the darkness becomes. It is deep darkness. Now, as you may know, darkness in the Bible is often a reference to God's judgment. For example, God judged the Egyptians with intense darkness, with deep darkness. The same thought here, where they could not even see the hand in front of their face. It was so dark. They were confined to their homes because they couldn't move about. It was so dark. That was for the Egyptians. The Israelites, they had light. They were able to go to and fro. So God judged the Egyptians. That was one of his judgments against the Egyptians after Pharaoh's refused to release the Israelites from their captivity. He immersed them in deep darkness. The prophet Joel prophesied in chapter 2 of his book that great darkness will accompany the day of the Lord when he comes to judge the earth. Another example of darkness. And Matthew records in chapter 27 of his gospel that darkness was over the land of Israel from noon to 3 o'clock when Jesus hung on the cross and he drank the cup of God's wrath as the judgment for our sins. He took our judgment. Darkness came over the earth as Christ absorbed the wrath of God in our place. Darkness in the Bible often symbolizes God's judgment, and that is what we have in verse 19. The people who walk on the pathway of wickedness and continue to walk that way live in a place of deep darkness. So dark they have no clue over what they stumble and no clue what awaits them in the place of eternal punishment they will enter at the time of their death unless God in his mercy saves them. So Solomon's contrast between the two ways to live cannot be plainer. Think of a young child listening to his father tell him these truths. And think of us. We are God's children, are we not? We are children too, being taught the word of truth. The contrast between the way that we are on right now, the way of life, the way of wisdom, contrasted with the way of darkness or the way of judgment that we deserve, but by God's grace and his mercy, we don't receive. It is the difference between night and day. It is the difference between life and death. And so we see there are two ways to live, but only one way to life. So let us keep to the path that shines brighter and brighter until we arrive at the full day of our glorification, when faith becomes sight and every promise God gives us in Christ, finally and forever, comes to pass. And if we find ourselves growing weary along the way, and we find ourselves being tempted to leave the pathway of wisdom to embrace another way that seems less strenuous and more pleasurable, and there are many ways in this world today that would tempt us to do so, let us keep in mind these words we find in the song, "The Sands of Time." The sands of time are sinking, the dawn of heaven breaks. The summer morn I've sighed for, the fair sweet morn awakes. Dark, dark had been the midnight, but dayspring is at hand. and glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. Yes, glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. So let us keep to Emmanuel's way. And let us forsake all other ways that take us away from him. For let us always remember there are two ways to live in this world, but only one way to life, the way of God's wisdom. Let us keep to that way. Amen. Let us pray.